pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Everyone should get the opportunity to start their morning off with the Groovy Grubworm song, don't you think? It's a good one. Let me give you a little tip. We're going to go back to the phone lines right away because we've got some people who've been holding a long time. And that telephone number is 866-444-3478. There was a I saw a special just recently on television about tiny homes. Logan and Bo, Logan, my daughter and announcer, and Bo, her husband, have a tiny home in Prescott, Arizona, up in the mountains. Just a gorgeous little place. And it was built around a trailer kind of a thing. You can't get a permit to build new houses, and they were able to just add to this thing and turn it into just a gorgeous thing. But tiny homes are becoming very popular during this COVID-19 thing because people are expanding their office at home, working from home, their studios, art studios, workshops, this kind of thing, that kind of thing, just expanding the house or whatever, putting up just a new place on a new property somewhere, a tiny home. I have an awfully good tip for you, and it's Ulrich Barns. They're sheds, Ulrich storage sheds, garages, and finished cabins. Their finished cabins just knock your socks off, detailed and complete, and the other things are more, you know, in the storage shed vein. But they're beautiful, all kinds of different designs, qualities through the roof, good. And I recommend go check it out if you're thinking about any of these tiny homes or extra buildings in any way. It's 520-GET-SHED. 520-GET-SHED, or their website, myperfectshed.com. Ulrich Storage Sheds, and it's spelled U-L-R-I-C-H, Ulrich. All righty, let's go with the phones. Gail in Fort Worth has a burrow question, apparently. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Before I do that, may I pass along a compliment to you and a thank you?
Sure. Be great.
Yeah. Well, I like people to know successes, too. And I called you very early in the spring about an annual aphid infestation I kept having, particularly in my herb garden. And you recommended the Azomite Garrett juice and orange oil. And I wanted to let you know that I ordered one of the trumpet sprayers you recommended.
Oh, good.
And sprayed and used the Azomite. And by the time the full spring came, I had it got rid of 85 to 90% of the aphids.
Well, good.
And I think if I had gotten to it a little bit earlier, it might have done a full job. So thank you so much for that.
You bet.
That trumpet sprayer is terrific. The only complaint my brother had was that it gave you quite an arm workout.
It is good exercise. That's right. Actually, it's a trombone sprayer rather than a trumpet sprayer because it goes back and forth like a trombone.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it was good. We did the whole lawn as well as the trees because it goes up pretty high.
Yeah, it's a good sprayer.
And the bark on the trees.
Yeah.
And it, we really noticed a difference within a couple of weeks, really.
Well, I appreciate the report.
You're very welcome. The bur oak tree that I have is 40-plus years old.
Okay.
There is an area that we've noticed is pretty high up, and it appears to be a glob of, it looks like ruffles, dark brown ruffles. That are just, you know, in a group there.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it could be fungus or mushrooms, and if using hydrogen peroxide spray might get rid of it, or is my amateur assessment off base?
Well, I think you're right on about it being fungal, and it's why it's there is a little bit of a head-scratcher. It's up in the tree, say, how high above ground?
I would say probably close to 25 feet.
Okay. Is there any indication below or above it of any scarring of the bark tissue, like it might have been hit by lightning or anything?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
But we can look again for it.
Well, the only other thing I can think of is that the wind blew a limb out of the tree and ripped a place there and gave it an opportunity for the fungus to get started.
That could be.
I'd need to see it to know for sure, but basically if you treated the area with hydrogen peroxide, it would kill that pathogen that's working there. And it probably would be worth doing. What I'm hoping is that if that was a limb that ripped off behind that fungus that's working, the tree has built its protective barrier, which all trees do. That's how they keep the fungus from spreading back on into the tree and becoming a bigger problem and taking the whole tree out. So spraying the hydrogen peroxide to kill the fungus will stop it in its tracks, and that's probably about all I would do, save one thing. You might want to get an arborist to come out and get up in the tree and look at it and see if he sees something that would create a situation where it's continuing to spread and he might need to do a little bit more than I just suggested.
Okay. Good deal. Well, thank you so much for that and for your help with the other. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the call and the report. Call us again, Gail.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Let's see what John's up to in Kaufman, Texas. Hey, John.
Hey, can you tell that stuff you were talking about a while ago that you put on precancerous skin deals? It was some kind of a milk, was it?
Well, yeah, it's just an anecdotal report of what other people have done and had success, Malcolm Beck being the first one. It's the white milk out of a fig plant. When you break the fruit of a fig, when you break a fig off of a plant, you know how the white milk kind of oozes out? That's it. It's a real sticky, latexy milk. And when it's put on those skin kind of things on the back of your hand or your arm or whatever, it has been found by people, more than a few, to burn like heck and get rid of those little precancerous skin things.
Okay. I appreciate that. Now, my question I called you about is I've got a pecan tree that's 20-plus years old, and anyway, it's on my list to expose to flare. I've noticed the leaves on branches throughout the tree just dying, what I think is prematurely. It might be because of hot weather and no water. And so I was weed eating all the grass away from it that I could, and then using the weed eater to kind of dig the soil up a little bit. And anyway, there's a place or two around the tree where the soil's just pulled completely away from the tree. And I'm sort of going out and say, well, I hope this isn't a sick tree that I mean haven't had to deal with. Or anyway, I've got it set up to have to expose the flares, just that the ground's so doggone hard. You gotta, you know, use like basically a hammer or chisel to break it loose to get that. And so my question to you is there anything? And I've never seen it before where the soil's pulled away completely away from the trunk of the tree, and it's not all the way around, it's just in places. And the tree is about it's a pretty good sized tree. It's about it's next to a street. It's probably about 5 or 6 feet the outer edge of that trunk from the street. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but it does. It's not a native pecan. It's and it's kind of not a paper shell. It's kind of in between there. But it hadn't produced a lot of pecans in the past couple of years, past 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's not an ideal environment for it to be in. I think the pulling away, the soil separation, is just the soil being dry from all this tremendous heat. You know, you're going to have expansion and contraction of the soil around a tree just like you would around the foundation of a house. So that's all that is. Just evening out the moisture level would take care of the problem. And if it's going to produce, you need to do that anyway. Keep a reasonable moisture level. If it's pulling away, it's definitely getting too dry.
Okay. Does that mean my tree's sick when I'm hollow leaves?
Yeah, if it's kicking off leaves, that means it's just stress. It'll try to correct its transpiration balance by kicking off leaves if it's too dry. Just add some moisture. I got to run. Appreciate the call. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back. Dirt Doctor here with a tip on backyard storage. Usual storage sheds get unpleasantly hot during the summer and damage your stuff. Not the case with Ulrich sheds. Because of their ventilation systems, they're roughly about 18 degrees cooler than standard sheds. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their building designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the thousands of happy customers. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433 or ulrichbarns.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus and West Nile virus, but Summit Mosquito Dunks kills mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. For more information, go to summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically. When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefit to the rose is squandered. Rose hip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as Pure Grow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tree treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to DirtDoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
The Medina Corporation, run by the Stuart Frankie family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for years. Medina produces high-quality liquid and dry fertilizers like Medina's Organic Growing Green that has a balance of nutrients for developing healthy root systems and many other products. Whether it's landscaping, turf, trees, herbs, or vegetables,
Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and protecting the environment. Medina products work beautifully and they're free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware stores, garden centers, farm stores, and other places that sell organic products. Medina, over a half a century of proven performance. For more information, go to MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. We're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk to Carol next. Hello, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. What's up?
Good. I've listened to your show, and I think I have totally opposite soil from most people in Texas. It's extremely sandy, soft, and I think it's from years of trees, leaves decomposing into the soil, and it is just, there's no clay, zero.
Well, you're actually lucky. You know what that might be, Carol? The Trinity River has changed courses over the, you know, decades and eons or however long it's been. And when the when a river changes its route like that, a lot of times it'll leave a sandier or sandy loam base. And we have in Dallas, even though we have mostly black clay soil on top of white limestone rock, we have several areas where that exactly has happened, and Fort Worth does too.
Oh, okay. So I just assume because it's kind of in a historic area, there's tons of trees around here, tons. And anyway, my St. Augustine is kind of suffering, and I didn't know what to put on a soil that's sandy to kind of amend that soil.
Well, it's the same thing that we use on clay soils. It's basically the compost, organic fertilizers, rock minerals. Even though it's sandy soil, we recommend sandy sand products like lava sand and azomite and things like that because we're not really influencing the texture so much as we're influencing the volcanic, the paramagnetism, the water holding capacity, which you have a bigger problem with than we do in clay,
and the
trace minerals. So it's a good thing to do just like we do in the clay soils. It's just there's a few things you do a little bit differently. It's easier to work, as you know, and so it's a great benefit in a lot of ways. But it's basically the same way of building the soil because with every input we use, fertilizers, sprays of Garrett juice, rock minerals, and sugars, we're trying to build the biological activity in the soil, the beneficial microbes, and that's what you do with the things we recommend.
So it's no different with sandy soil?
Not really. If you got a soil test in your sandy soil, it might show that instead of a little bit of nitrogen and a little bit of potassium, you need more magnesium, or you need more, you know, the chemistry might be a little bit different, and you might need to water a little bit different. But in general, the sandier soils are deficient in calcium. And so sometimes products that have lime and calcium in them are good there. But one of the great things about the organic approach is that all of the things that we recommend have a real nice blend of nitrogen and calcium and magnesium and potassium and all those things. So you don't have to worry about buying individual mineral inputs nearly as much as the people that use the chemical approach.
Got it. So I didn't have to do anything different than people with different soils.
Okay. You actually probably have it easier. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It's my St. Augustine. Well, there's a probably not getting enough sun.
Oh, I was just going to go back to that. Yeah. If you said you had a lot of trees, if you have a lot of trees and a lot of shade, that's the problem with the turf. And no amendments help that. You just have to get
I had the tree trimmed, the one in the front. The front yard's what looks the worst. It really looks bad in the St. Augustine. But I had it trimmed, and it's up high enough that I would think it looks like it's still getting sun. It's probably a 100-year-old oak tree.
That will help, but it won't completely solve the problem. And the reason is the foliage grows back, and it's not just a shade problem. It's also a root competition problem.
So the
only real way you get back to having really super healthy turf when you're dealing with a lot of trees and a lot of shade is one of two things. You cut down a tree completely and open it up for more sunlight. Or you go to ground covers that can grow in shady situations, not turf.
There you go.
Okay.
That helps. Thank you.
I appreciate the call very much. Call us again. Let's go to Stan, Springtown, Texas. Hey, Stan.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I've got some horse herb plants in the back of my property, and they're starting to flower, and I would like to collect the seeds if possible and plant them in some shady areas of my yard. And I was wondering when to collect those and how long to let the seeds dry and when to plant them.
Okay, I'm going to give you some advice here you're going to like. You don't need to worry about collecting the seed and letting the seed dry. For one thing, I don't know how in the world you do it. The seed of horse herb are tiny, tiny, tiny little black seed. But here's what you do, and I got this tip from a listener. Again, I've told you before, I get a lot of great tips from my listeners and readers, and here it is. If you want to have horse herb expanded on your own property, short of just going and buying some more plants, here's what you do. When the little yellow flowers are in full bloom on the thing, which ought to be about right now, you mow the horse herb. And in this case, this one time, you catch the clippings. You put the bag on your lawnmower and you catch the clippings. Most of the time, you know, I don't recommend that. I recommend leaving all the clippings on the ground. You take those clippings then, and you just broadcast them like a mulch on the area where you want the new horse herb, and it'll come up like gangbusters everywhere.
I see. Is there a time where they actually will start coming up? Is it fall? Is it just right after you
They'll probably germinate and start to try to grow some this year and just get started, and then you'll probably see a whole lot more of it next year.
That sounds great, Howard.
All right. Get to work.
All right.
Talk to you later. Thanks for calling. I'm Howard, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Don't go away.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back. It's 866-444-3478 to be on the show today. We're going to go to Cedar Creek Lake right now and talk to Gregory.
Hello, Howard. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. And you, sir?
Too hot.
Boy, I tell you, it is. It's nasty.
Hey, let me tell you what I've got here. I probably got close to a half an acre, and I have probably 10 oak trees on this thing, and all of them are at least, they're full grown, probably 50 years and up.
Okay.
I had one on the side of my house. This tree's 35, 40 feet high. I mean, it's huge. I didn't even notice this happened so quick. I mean, every leaf on it is dead. And it leaved out perfect. But it died, I bet, within 3 or 4 days. All those leaves just died.
Well, Cedar Creek Lake, sandy soil, you're probably talking about bur oak or post oak, maybe?
Yeah, I believe, you know, sir, I believe they're all post oak.
Okay. Well, the problem we've got there, I don't have good news for you, because if it turned brown all over like that flashed, it's probably gone. But for the rest of your plants, here's what happened. Back in the winter and the spring, you remember, we had rain every day. You know, we had a huge amount of rain. And then when it turned hot in a hurry and stayed hot. We've had a little bit of rain spotted in there. But in your sandy soil, when we have this enormously hot weather, the moisture level drops rapidly in the soil. And to make matters worse, those native oaks, during all that real heavy rainy season, their roots got lazy. And probably a little bit more shallow, the roots are always changing. There's always root hairs that are dying and new roots being grown and all that kind of thing. And during a real heavy rainy period like that, they'll tend to get a little bit more shallow than normal. And so
yeah, this is kind of on a slope, so it might have really got a lot of rain coming down from that slope also.
Yeah, it may have exaggerated all that stuff. And then when it just gets super hot, if you weren't being careful about your watering, the root system just burned up. That's what happened. Now, when that happens, you can get burned up from
overwatering.
Pardon me?
It actually burned up from being too wet.
That was the first step of it, yeah, creating a weaker situation in the root system. And then when the hot weather hit, you know, it just really nailed it. So what you need to do is be more careful. Get your probe, golf club with the head cut off, and probe the soil and dig some holes, test, and see what's going on moisture level-wise around the rest of your trees. And you might want to, in some cases, put a garden hose out there and just turn it on, let it run, and flood a root zone here and then go to another tree and another tree. If you've got an irrigation system, you may want to run it a little heavier. Post oaks are incredibly tough, durable, native trees, but they do have that one fatal flaw that comes from being the soil moisture being dry too deep in the ground. It really can nail them.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned about you hear about oak wilt.
Mm-hmm. That's not it.
Okay. Well,
they're not even susceptible to oak wilt. Only the red oaks are. Now, if you have blackjack oaks, that is a red oak, and it could be susceptible to the oak wilt. But I doubt that's what we're dealing with. If it is what you want to do, in fact, you may even want to do this in general if your budget allows and your time allows for it. That is to apply what we call the sick tree treatment. And the sick tree treatment is to, number one, step one, most important step, make sure the flare is exposed dramatically. Even if it looks like the flare is exposed, exposing it a little bit more is a good thing to do, even in your sandy soils. And then the rest of the sick tree treatment is to apply the amendments that we use for organic bed preparation. Compost, rock minerals, and the sugars. The sugars are dry molasses and cornmeal. The rock minerals are lava sand, azomite, granite sand, stuff like that. And then the compost and organic fertilizers are the carbon end of the treatment. That's all explained on my website under guides
The
homepage.
Yeah.
But it's called a sick tree treatment is what it's called. If you have the budget and the time to do it, it would be worth doing it since you know you're seeing some trouble with your trees.
Yes, yeah, sir. You know, I'm assuming these are post oak. They're all native.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think that they are post oak?
Do they have rounded lobes?
No, not really.
Well, the blackjack oak has kind of sharp pointed, almost club-like shape lobes. The post oaks are real round and smooth shape. You can look at my website, dirtdoctor.com. We've got real good photographs of both of them in there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll do that. As far as removing this tree, should you wait for the cooler weather or just do it anytime?
Well, you might go ahead and apply the sick tree treatment to it just as a kind of a last hope and that there is life left in it. But if it totally flashed brown and all, it's not a good sign. You want
it literally happened so quick I didn't even notice it.
Yeah. You won't waste your money, really, if you do the sick tree treatment because you will have improved the soil in that area for whatever else you plant there later. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to give it a shot, but just don't keep your hopes up too high.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Howard. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Good luck.
Bye.
Let's see who's next. It would be JW, I believe. Yeah, JW in Coppell, Texas.
Good morning, Doctor.
How are you today?
Well, I'm okay, but, you know, I've talked to you a number of times, and I think sometimes I get some misinformation from some people who don't mean to give me misinformation.
That can happen.
Yes, it can. And are Nutsedge and Poena the same?
Nope.
Okay. Does Image treat Nutsedge and Poena?
It treats Nutsedge poorly, and it wouldn't have any effect on Poa annua that I would know of at all.
Okay. But, so I guess the last question is the treatment. I've treated the Poena twice already, and I know around the end of August and early September, you're supposed to treat it again. And I think I have some stuff out in the shed to treat it with, but is that correct? Is it time now to treat the Poena?
Well, Poena is a cool season grass. And so if you're talking about treating it with pre-emergence, those things that keep the seed from germinating, that's done in September. That's done in September the 15th, just like we use corn gluten meal. If you're talking about chemical pre-emergence, I don't recommend those at all. I think they're horrible for the soil, the health of the soil and everything else, and they don't even work that well anyway. So corn gluten meal is what I would recommend September the 15th or thereabouts. We're guessing, you know, you have to put it out before the weed seed germinate. And the Poena is, you know, a tough little weed. We had a worst case of it being all over the place this past year than I've ever seen in my life.
We did. I didn't think I was going to have any Bermuda come back.
I think it was due to all the rain. I think that was what it was. Yep. I think that it just liked all the conditions more so than the other things did. But I would put it out 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet around September the 15th. And you can do it twice. You could do it once before that date and once after that date, like I was talking about early in the show, like some of the contractors do, and they do it at a little bit reduced rate. They'll do it at 10 to 15 pounds and then do it at 10 to 15 pounds again, and you probably would get better control that way. And it's a good organic fertilizer, and it fertilizes your trees and everything else you have at the same time that it does the turf.
Now, when you say before, how long before and how long after?
A couple of weeks each side of September the 15th. Yep.
All right. Well, you certainly earned the title doctor.
All right. Well, give it a shot and let me know how it works for you. And try to stay away from those chemical things because you've already seen they don't work very well.
Yes, I have. Thank you so much.
All right. I appreciate it. Yeah, Image is recommended that he mentioned for Nutsedge or Nutgrass. And way back when I first got into recommending organic products and techniques, you know, everybody in the industry and the other guys on the radio and that wrote columns recommended Image and a couple other chemical kind of things for Nutsedge. And I started doing a survey. I did a survey of landscape contractors and people that are in the turf grass industry. And every one of them that I talked to said, well, the Image works. It seems like a little bit, but as soon as you stop using it, the Nutsedge comes back worse than it ever was in the beginning. And then some of them said it never worked at all. Some of them said that the Nutgrass that we have, the Nutsedge that we have, is a species that the Image cannot even control. It's not even designed to control it. I think they came up with it accidentally somehow, but it doesn't work very well, and it's a toxic chemical. So anybody that recommends that to you, tell them that you're going to use the Dirt Doctor's recommendations, which are this, and I'm doing it right now. I'm behind on my project, but need to get it farther along. What will control Nutsedge is to change the character of the soil from being anaerobic to over to being more aerobic and healthy and loaded with microbes and biological activity. Nutsedge is a sedge, meaning it likes wet soil. It likes anaerobic conditions. It'll grow in healthier soil, don't get me wrong, but it prefers the wet soil. I was looking at it on a golf course the other day where the golf course superintendent and the people there are applying the chemicals all the time. And it's been growing there for years, and it's still growing because the stuff doesn't work. And you'll see it the worst on places at the bottom of a slope, at the edge of a green where the water goes over and hits the native soil, you know, and stops, or around a sprinkler head. That's where you're going to see the nutsedge. So put molasses. I'm going to run out of time here. I'll explain it in more detail when I come back. But basically, molasses and air and oxygen is the secret. Does your garden have planting insurance?
It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic insect and pest control? Pure Grows Bug Stop is a blend of natural plant oils that controls mites, scale, whiteflies, aphids, tent caterpillars, and beetles. Bug Stop delivers rapid knockdown and kill and is safe to use around plants, pets, people, and beneficial insects. Ask for Pure Grows Bug Stop in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
Azomite is a naturally occurring organic soil amendment that contains over 70 minerals and trace elements. It will improve root systems, yields, and general plant vigor in your garden, lawn, trees, field crops, and garden vegetables. Azomite is also a natural feed additive for chickens, livestock, and horses. Ask for Azomite in your local garden center or hardware store. If you need it in bulk or would like it delivered directly to you, then call Mike at 301-219-7540. Get better results today. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
We all know that probiotics are good for digestive health, but your skin, too? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products, especially harsh soaps, can disrupt the balance of the good bacteria on your skin. But there's a progressive new approach to skincare that allows you to create a healthier environment on your skin. Probiotic skincare. Dr. Ohira applied ancient Japanese fermentation skills to merge his famous pre, pro, and postbiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line. The Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, beautifully clarifies and rebalances even sensitive skin without drying. The Magaroku Lotion and the Hadayubi Moisturizer combine Dr. Ohira's award-winning probiotic complex with 14 wild plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to help restore your natural glow. As a health and beauty expert, I recommend the daily use of Dr. Ohira's skincare products, available at Sprouts and other fine health stores.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Our next call is going to be about hydrogen peroxide. So, Kathy, hold there. But real quickly on the nutsedge, I kind of rushed that. Nutgrass or nutsedge, the recommended procedure, my recommended procedure, is molasses. And you can start the process by drenching the whole area with hydrogen peroxide because that's an oxidizing process when you do that one time. And then you follow that up by mixing molasses, liquid molasses and water, heavy amounts, half a cup to a cup per gallon of water, drenching it in the area over and over multiple times, and the nutsedge will slowly fade away because it doesn't like the new conditions that you're creating there is how it works. And as promised, Kathy is in Argyle, Texas. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Howard. Hey, I have a bird bath. It's like two levels, and I have terrible algae in it, and I have to keep power washing it, and the algae comes back like within a week. So, I want to try the hydrogen peroxide, but I have a number of questions. I don't know if it's safe for the birds. Do I have to pump all the water out and power wash it, and then put fresh water in with hydrogen peroxide in it? I don't know how to handle the problem.
Well, there's a couple of things. Hydrogen peroxide is not dangerous to the birds. They do put a preservative in the hydrogen peroxide that you buy at the store. I don't know if they do the concentrated stuff, you know, the 27 to 30% hydrogen peroxide, 33%. I don't know. They probably do, and I think it's a very mild thing that they put in it as a preservative. I don't think it would be a problem at all. I can tell you this. I use it on my little gambusias that I've got in an aquarium at my office and in my koi pond at home all the time on a regular basis, and it doesn't hurt the fish. It doesn't hurt the plants if you're using it at the right level. If you use hydrogen peroxide real strong, 10% or so, it'll burn plants. It'll function like a herbicide. But if it's used at the levels that we recommend, which are very diluted, it will control the algae and not hurt the birds or, you know, any aquatic life or anything at all. The other thing I should tell you, and this will help you kind of cut back, not use it too often. A little algae in the water doesn't hurt the birds any either.
Okay.
It's perfectly healthy for the birds.
Oh, all right.
So it's just a cosmetic issue that you're dealing with. But, for example, in my koi pond, I have four different waterfalls, and that moving water really stimulates an algae. It's called string algae that's problematic. A lot of people talk about they can't figure out how to control it, and they use a bunch of chemicals and things. And what I've done is I just put a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in every few – oh, gosh, I haven't done it more than – once a month, maybe once every 3 weeks is about as often as I've ever done it. And it just keeps okay. that string algae completely wiped out.
Okay, so I don't have to pump out the whole thing?
No, I never have to do that. And that's a good point, because I used to think, somebody told me this, I used to think that I had to shut down my waterfalls and have the water in the koi pond perfectly still to treat the algae. And so one day I was just being lazy. And my pond has about 1,700 gallons in it. And I put two bottles of quart bottles of hydrogen peroxide, which isn't very much for that much water. I just put it in two places, at the beginning of the top of the first waterfall and then in the middle. And I just didn't think about it for a couple of days. And all of a sudden I went out there a few days later and I noticed the string algae, which was green and had started growing pretty well. It turned brown and it was dying out completely. So it doesn't take, in fact, in my library on the website, dirtdoctor.com, under hydrogen peroxide, there's a hydrogen peroxide mixing chart, the ratios and the mixing recommendations. Those mixing recommendations that I have in there, I need to modify a little bit and turn into a Dallas Morning News column, and it'll force me to redo it. They're a little bit higher than you probably need to use based on my accidental research on my koi pond.
Okay. Well, this bird bath is probably, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 gallons. It's not very big, you know.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't need to use more than a half a cup of hydrogen peroxide every now and then in it, and it'd take care of business.
Oh, yeah, you just made my life easier. Thank you.
Give it a try. Kind of experiment around with it. I'll put you in charge of that research, and you let me know what you find out, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see what we got here. 16 and 20. David in Missoula, Montana, next up. Hi, David.
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Doing great. What's up?
Just had a real quick question for you. About 5 weeks ago, about 5 months ago, a neighbor gave me an aloe vera plant. And it's a beautiful plant, and it's gotten about three times as big. What do people do with aloe vera plants? I know you can't eat them, really.
Well, you wouldn't want to do that. You can do the aloe vera juice internally if you buy it. It's been processed properly. But the leaves, the oldest leaves, when you get burned real bad, break off the oldest leaves and put the gel on a burn. It not only kills the burn, but it won't even scar. It's a wonderful tool for you to use that way. I appreciate your call very much. Chris, you got something real fast on pine trees?
I
tell you what, Chris, let me put you on hold. I'll talk to you off the air. I'm Howard Garrett, and I enjoyed being with you.